Lay. What's up? Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast. Today, we're going to preview the 2025 CJ Cup at the Byron Nelson in Texas, Fort Worth, Texas area. Get you ready for this weekend's action and chit-chat like we usually do about something going wrong in golf. But before we get to that, you can follow me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Glad the Zurich's gone and done with for the year. That is a plus, but because I didn't watch, I told you before, I didn't watch a second of it, so I have nothing worth adding to the show.
Same, dude. Talladega was on after I got done playing golf, so I watched that. But I didn't watch any of it. My lineup went one for six. Rory McIlroy was the only, and Lowry the only two, only pair that I got through. So yeah, overall, just a pretty terrible week. It helps when we actually do a podcast, so obviously.
Yeah, I literally didn't think I was going to do a lineup, and then the Junkies League, Kevin sent out the thing on Wednesday. I'm like, well, I guess I have to do one lineup, so I've got like a $5 single entry. I'm like, if I'm playing in that, I might as well put money involved.
Right.
I got 4 out of 6 and almost min-cashed, so trust me, like, there was a lot of people that had no clue what the heck was going on.
Yeah.
Zurich, when all things are said and done.
It's just such a crapshoot, man, like, with the best ball, like, you know, the one team on Thursday morning was like 1100 through 10. I don't know if you saw that or not.
Yeah.
The team that was leading.
Yep.
So, yeah. I mean, I played in a 6-man scramble this weekend and we weren't 1100 through 10.
6-man scramble. Mm-hmm. My God. That's amazing.
Like, yeah, we were not 1100 through 10.
How long does that round take?
About 5. It's not bad.
It's about normal.
Yeah. 4.5.
I think like 6-man, like, that's a lot of balls getting hit, move, picking up.
It is.
It's a lot going on there.
Luckily, the golf course isn't very difficult, and it's pretty wide open, so it's not a whole lot of searching. But
they're a bunch of scratch golfers anyways.
No, they are. No. We were not a good team. So, but yeah, I mean, it's I'm not a Zurich guy, even though I wanted to be after watching Full Swing, but I just didn't get into it. So
we both raved about that episode when we recapped Full Swing, and then it's I'm good.
All right.
You had other things to do. I had other things to do. And certain weeks, it's must-see TV. Not for this week.
All right. But,
then Live Chapultepec in Mexico took place as well. And Joaquin Neiman won his third tournament in the last 5 and his 5th overall on Live, tying Brooks Koepka for the Live career lead.
Number one player in the world. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, with the new rules, it guaranteed Neiman in the U.S. Open.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's like that quality of merits or whatever with the new rules that I believe – U.S. Open and maybe PGA of America came out with for their majors that Neiman qualifies for the Open now without having to go through a qualifier.
So, good for him.
Yeah, he got that going for him. So now we just need a top 10 in a major or something. That
no asterisks on any of the majors then coming up.
Nope, none of those at least half of them. Yep, yeah, you can earn your way in, boys. One of you out of the 70 that play every weekend, you're allowed in. So come join us. All right, let's get to it here. This will be a quickie because it's a not-so-great field is the best way I'll put it. There's a couple top-heavy pieces and not much else. It's the CJ Cup at Byron. It is in Fort Worth, Texas. Jesse, what do you have for some past event history for us?
Yeah, it's been played at TPC Craig Ranch since 2021. Before that, it was played at a couple different places around Dallas, right?
Yeah. Yes, Fort Worth
area. Last year, Taylor Pendrith won. He was 23 under, one shot over Ben Coles. 2023 was Jason Day for the second time winning this event, but the first time at this golf course. 23 under, one shot over Ekroat and Siwoo. And then KH Lee went back-to-back in 21 and 22, shooting 25 and 26 under respectively. So, yeah, that's pretty much all that really matters because the other stuff was at different courses.
Yep, at different courses and a whole different – like, this is just your straight-up birdie fest. Can you bomb and gouge? It's TPC Craig Ranch, as you mentioned, par 71. The first few years that Jesse was recapping, it was a par 72. They moved it to a par 71, trying to change the scoring. It has not occurred, as one might guess by the winning scores there. It is a full field. It's T70 or T65 and ties over the weekend. They tried to lengthen the golf course again this week. We'll see. They're growing out the rough a lot more this year. I've heard on different shows and reading different things, potentially 3.5 inches of rough, which would be massive, because this used to be a straight up, just hit it as far as you can and then hit your approach shot in, because the rough was not penal at all. So if they could get it to 3.5, it's thick ryegrass. Maybe that helps a little bit. I don't expect much. Let's put it that way. The last few years, it's been the eighth easiest course. They've gotten rain like crazy, so it's going to be soft. So literally, you can bomb and gouge it still, as long as you're not in the rough, I guess, on this one. As they say every year, this course, it's a really tough course if it's windy. Well, it hasn't been windy, if you can guess by the scores. Jesse mentioned there's 3 par 5s, all very gettable. There's 7 of the 10 par 4s are extremely long, over 465, but still very gettable. What it comes down to is off the tee, you can be a bomber if you want, but in the biggest part of this game is the approach game. It's around 45 to 50% of all approach shots on this course are over 200 yards. So it is a long iron festival. That's why like long drivers and even short drivers, Gary Woodland, I think, finished second here last year or the year before, whatever it was. So you don't have to be a bomber, even though we've looked into it. Actually, Woodland hits it far now, which is crazy. But my point being, even like Joel Dahman's of the world, they can play very well here, because it's all about getting your iron game on and then get luck box putting, as we always talk about, because it is a birdie fest. So I just look at guys that are piping it and really, really good with the long irons right now coming into this week. And that's where I would be building it from. What are you looking at this week, Jesse?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. It's in the past anyways, like you said, bombing shit greens. Yeah, I mean, the greens are pretty big here from what I remember.
Yes, they are. Yes,
yeah.
They are.
It's birdie or better. We got enough course history to wait as well, so definitely wait that.
All right, let's get into it here. Your DraftKings picks for the week. Scottie Scheffler is at 13-3. Wow. And then you have Jordan Spieth at 10-5 and Sung Ji at 10,000. Like, by the names involved in that list, you should tell already how bad the rest of this field's about to be.
Yeah, it's tough, because you know, you got Scotty obviously at 13-3. It takes up a lot though. And he's only in his last, like, since February, the beginning of February, he's like really only exceeded the score for his salary one time, and that was at the Houston Open where he finished second. I mean, he didn't even do it at the Masters where he finished fourth. Obviously a little bit tougher, so not making as many birdies there, but I mean, I play Scotty if you want. I doubt I'll play any of these three on the one lineup that I make, but Jordan Spieth would be my next choice. He did miss the cut here last year, but in 22 finished second, and before that finished ninth. If the rough is higher, then maybe avoid him.
Yeah, that's fair.
So if they come out with, you know, if you start seeing some videos this week where the rough is pretty nasty, you may not want to play Jordan Spieth. Like I said, I probably won't play any of these guys unless it's just I plug Scotty in and hope he wins.
That's kind of where I'm at. It's like, okay, if I play Scotty, it's you hope he wins, because this is, again, testament, because I haven't been playing him for the reasons you mentioned. He costs so much and he hasn't earned his points to justify his price tag. But then you look at this field, statistically, what I'm looking at here, last 24 rounds, he's first in strokes gained totaled. He's first in DK points. He's third in approach. He's 10th on the par fives. He's 12th from 200 plus. He's 5th in birdie or better. Everything you want, Scotty's just rolling in. He just 100%. Hasn't. I was telling some of my buddies, actually, 2 weekends ago when I watched golf, not this past weekend. We were talking about Scottie Scheffler, and everyone's like, man, what's wrong with him? I said, nothing. He plays great Thursday and Friday, just kind of shoots even par on Saturdays, and then plays well again on Sundays.
Yeah.
So when that middle round clicks again, Scotty's going to start whooping people's ass once again.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like he's not making cuts. Like, all of a sudden, he just started missing cuts. I mean, 8th, 4th, 2nd in his last 3 events, so 3 straight top 10s. For anybody else, that's like, holy shit, this guy's playing really well. Year. I mean, when you come off the year like you had last year, it's just not the same. But those years, like, the thing we forget is those years are few and far between. Like, we've seen Tiger do that a couple times, and Scotty do it, you know, to a certain extent, what Tiger did. Not exactly what Tiger did, but still.
And then Jordan at 10-5, like he's fourth in my model. Course history is phenomenal, as you mentioned. And the driver is off the grid. There's no denying that. But he's still fifth in strokes gained total in this field, fifth on the par fives, like better than Scotty on the par fives, crazy enough. Second in DK scoring. His long iron game, he's like 55th, a little better than mid-pack. So I get it if people want to go there. I'd rather not go there personally. Like I might have a couple of shares in my 20 max. I was shocked at the Masters. We didn't record recently. Well, we did the Heritage, but maybe I mentioned it then. But Jordan was less than like 10% owned in Augusta. So maybe I don't care about the course history right now. Maybe it will this week because the field's so bad. Right. Don't get me wrong. But like usually in Augusta, I was like an automatic 30% Jordan out there. Right. That did not happen. So maybe that's a thing of the past, and that's where he becomes interesting. I will say that much if the ownership is low. All right, 9K range. You got Sam Burns at 98, Binion at 97, Taylor Pendrith, the defending champion, at 96. Mitchell already withdrew. Siwoo Kim at 94, Stephen Yeager at 93, Ben Griffin coming off that New Orleans high at 92, Mackenzie Hughes at 91. So who do you like in the 9K range?
I've got them all checked off except for Sam Burns. Binon's got pretty good course history, fourth and 14th in his last two starts here, and has made five straight cuts on tour. It is a steep price for him. Obviously, Taylor Pendrith is the defending champion. Siwoo, another guy with good course history, 13th, second, missed cut, 55th. And like Siwoo just plays good at places that he plays good at typically. Come off eighth place finish last week or last time out at the Heritage. He was in the lead for a lot of that tournament. Yeager, 9,300, has made the cut three straight times here, finished 11th in 2023. Ben Griffin coming off a win. I'm surprised he's still playing, but 13th here last year. And then Mackenzie Hughes, back-to-back made cuts here, 14th in 2023 was his best finish at this event, at this course, but come off a third-place finish very quietly at the Heritage. I do not remember him being on the leaderboard at all at the Heritage. So it's a really strong range here. If I had to narrow it down, I'd probably go Binon, Siwoo, and Ben Griffin.
It's funny you say that about Mackenzie Hughes, because when I was starring my guys and going through certain things, same exact thought. I do not remember that at all. So that was a big surprise as well. And he's 70 at the end of my model. So it's not like his form is still very suspect. His long iron play is horrific. 134th in this field from 200 plus. Birdie or better, 98th. Then again, it just takes one hot week on these soft conditions. So I don't mind him if you want to. But like Ben Griffin at 92, I keep playing him week in and week out. He finally wins of the week. I don't play him, of course. Only fitting. You're all welcome if you did.
Sure.
But I think he's only playing because he barely missed the Masters. So he's racking up points right now. He doesn't care. I know he's exempt because he won an event, but I think he wants to keep racking up FedEx points right about now and really lock things in. So Benny Griffin at 92, I don't mind. Jägerbombs is one of my favorite ones here. He's played well here in the past. He's also played really well at Houston. Houston's got a lot of similar. You got the Texas golf setup, pretty wide open, a lot of long iron plays. Jäger's obviously won there. He's 18th in my model. He's fifth in approach over the last 24 rounds, fourth in birdie or better. So he's going to go low, hopefully, for you. In the DK world, love Siwoo Kim at 94. The course history here is great. And just overall, he's a par five monster. He's a birdie or better. Like, he just throws darts. Is around the green games even good enough to like keep you out of trouble, hopefully. So Siwoo at 94, I'm there. And I agree with you on Pendrith and Binion as well. So yeah, very, very loaded range item. I'll start off as well outside of Sammy Burns. But for me, it's Binion, Siwoo, and Jägerbombs for me, if I got to pick and choose. So really, really good range, as you mentioned. 8K range, you got Rasmus Højgaard at 89, Willie Z at 88, Tom Kim at 87, Ryan Gerard at 86, Jacob Bridgman at 85, Jake Knapp at 84, Ryu at 83, Nikolai Højgaard at 82, Eric Cole at 81, and Seamus Power and Harry Hall rounding it out at $8,000. Jesse, what do you like in this range?
Yeah, Højgaard at 8,900. Him and his brother played last week, and they finished second. He's never played at this course, but he's coming off a 32nd place finish at the Masters, 32nd at the Houston Open. Gerard just has become a boy. I should have played him last week. He was paired up with some dude, Danny Walker. Never heard of him.
Oh, he had that run for a few weeks that everyone started playing for like $6,400.
Danny Walker did?
Yeah, earlier this year. I can't remember if it was on the West Coast thing. I'm 99% sure.
I don't remember him, and so that made me mad that I didn't play him. But anyways, Gerard missed the cut here, and his only appearance, which was 2023, but you know, his only missed cut this year was at Puerto Rico. Otherwise, he's just making cuts. So, like him quite a bit. Knapp at 8,400 finished eighth at this event, at this course last year. Has a couple top tens, you know, this year, or at least one top 10 this year. Yeah, one. 12th at the Players. That's a pretty good finish. He did miss the cut his last time out, which was the Texas Open, but he did make the cut at the Houston Open the week before that. And then Eric Cole at 8,100, 23rd here last year. And he's, I think, starting to get it figured out here. 18th, yep. 26th, 15th, and 12th in his last four starts. The Heritage, obviously, 18th. But otherwise, like the Texas, Houston, Valspar, very similar fields, very similar, you know, course conditions in Texas with the Texas Open and the Houston Open. Obviously, different courses. But Texas golf there. So I do like Eric Cole quite a bit as well.
Yep, similar plays here. Ryan Girard, 86. I really, really like him as well. He's second in my model. And so it's right behind Scotty, of course. And it checks out the last 24 rounds, 13th strokes gained approach, 8th strokes gained total. He's even putting lights out. He's 13th on the par 5, 6th from 200 plus, 9th in birdie or better, 6th in DK scoring. So Ryan Girard's locked in, as Jesse mentioned. I like him a lot at 86. Jake Knapp's 8th in my model. He's one of my favorite plays on this slate. He's 8,400 bucks. Whenever I think a course that you can take advantage of with your length, but also bring in the iron game. We've seen Jake Knapp improve in that iron game of late, where it used to be a kind of a hindrance to him. The Players was a big part of that, but we've also seen like Houston took advantage of that setup. He's having a pretty good year, and he actually played well last weekend at the Zurich. I forget, just totally blanked on his partners. I had him in my lineup. They played very well, less than 4% rostered in my event. So I like Knapp quite a bit as well. He's like top 15 in a lot of the categories I'm looking at. Ryu at 83 is 20th in my model. He's striking it really well, 18th from 200 plus. So his approach game's on par, and his strokes gained total's 4th. So like him a lot. Eric Cole, 100% with you. We've been kind of talking about him the last few weeks, like it's time to start buying in, because we know he's boom or bust. Like he'll blow up and just fall off the map. But when he's locked in, especially on a birdie fest, this is what you want, is Eric Cole in this kind of situation. He's been doing that of late, as you mentioned. So I like him a lot, 81 as well. And last but not least, Harry Hall is another one of those guys that if it's kind of more of a wide open, like he's played well in Texas in the past type situation with Mr. Hall here. He missed the cut here last year, 83rd of the year before. But if you look at recent form from Mr. Hall, 26th of Valero, was 18th at the Houston Open, 54th at Valspar. He's coming in playing, swinging it really well. He's 19th in birdie or better, 14th in DK scoring. So he's a guy that likes to fill it up. So I like a lot of these kind of just young, go get them, pen-seeking machines in this 8K range quite a bit. 79 to 75, it starts with Alex Smalley and Matt Wallace at 79, goes all the way down to Taylor Moore, Lee Hodges, Isaiah Salinda, and Matthew McCarty at 75. Who do you like here, Jesse?
Start with Smalley at 7,900, 13th here last year, but he is coming off 3 consecutive missed cuts. He was playing pretty well before that. Olsen at 7,800. He missed the cut here last year, but 5th his last time out at the Texas Open. Eckrode at 77, 2nd here last year, or 2 years ago. 32nd at the Heritage. Bunch of missed cuts this year. This is where this tournament really starts going downhill. Rico Hui, we've talked about him quite a bit. He missed the cut here last year, missed the cut his last time out, but just for some reason the model continues to like him. Thorbjornsson at 7,600. He's never played here, but yeah, the model likes him as well. Saldina. This guy was pretty close in Mexico back in February, if you remember. I think you asked me who this guy was, and I told you.
I think like, he's the one that helped set the record on Thursday, his group.
Oh, yes. No, was it?
Yes, I think so.
Was it?
Could be wrong. I'll check it out, but I'm pretty sure it's him.
Let me pull that up real quick here. Let's see here. Who was that? Was he? Oh, yes. I think you're right. Anyways, him. Doesn't matter. Yeah. I do like him at 7,500. He has never played here, coming off a miscut in Texas, but was playing really good golf before that miscut. And, you know, him and his partner did go off last week. It was pretty insane. Let me see that round here. See what they shot on. This is great TV here. Round one. Yes, they shot 26 on the front, which is 10 under, and then 32 on the back, 58, 14 under. Him and Kevin Velo, which I've never heard of, but.
Yeah, me neither.
Salinda, you know, they both eagled seven. I mean, it's pretty crazy. No, he eagled seven. And anyways, this is an insane run there. So maybe that opens up a little bit. That's all I got.
Yeah, for me in this range, like Alex Smalley, I'll keep going back to. It's been an up and down year, but still, you know, 11th off the tee, 7th strokes gain total, 28th birdie or better, 30th in DK scoring, so it's not like he's a crutch. He's missed 3 straight cuts, 14th at the Players. It's more just kind of he finished 13th here last year. So a guy that's played well before, we know he's got the skill set. We're kind of already getting down to the barrel, and it's only the high 7 range. It's got like Smalley, 40th in my model. It's amazing he's 40th in my model, and he still missed 3 straight cuts. So it says a lot about what's going on there. Olsen is 10th in my model, so you mentioned him. He's 3rd in approach from 200 plus, 26th in birdie or better, 20th on par 5s. I like him quite a bit. Kevin Yu at 78, he's 15th in my model. He's 5th off the tee, 14th in the par 5 scoring, 17th in DK scoring. Another guy just fires away at it. Rico Hoey at 77, he's 28th. I like him quite a bit as well. He's 1st off the tee in this field. Kurt Kitayama, it's always about can he putt because he's one of the longest drivers in this field. He's 10th from 200 plus, so he checks all the boxes on the other factors I want. Like, if he can just get the putter, like, even almost to average at $7,600, he should pay off for you. So he's a good tournament play. And then at 75, I got Salinda as well. Matthew McCarty at $7,500. Don't mind him. He hasn't ever played here, it looks like, but it's a guy coming in with a 14th at the Masters, 52nd at Houston, 16th at Valspar, 20th at the Players. So he's coming in pretty good form. I like him. And then last but not least, I will mention Lee Hodges, because Lee Hodges is another guy who hasn't played here since 2022 and missed a cut, but missed cut at Valero, 11th at Houston. So I saw that Houston round, $7,500. At least he goes into my player pool this upcoming week. 74 to 7K. It goes Svensson, Kim, Woodland, Rogers, all the way down to like 10 guys at 10K rounded off 7K. By Zach Johnson. Yeah, 7K, like, sorry. Okay. What do you like in this range? Holy crap, this is bad.
Yeah, it's a P. Raj week. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. 32nd, 47th in his 2 starts at this event. 3 straight made cuts for him. Gary Woodland, I think, is playable. He's never played here, but I think he's fine. Jesper Svensson at 7,400, never played here. However, he hasn't missed a cut since the Farmers back in at the end of January. 32nd, 27th, 64th. His last 3 starts just making cuts. Toasty at 7,300 is just a really good GPP play every week, especially in like fields like this. 12th and 5th in his last 2 starts. Now, he did miss the cut here last year, but, you know, his year this year is 12th, 5th, miscut, miscut, miscut. 68th, 10th, miscut. 58th, miscut, miscut. I mean, it's like, you know, it's boom or bust with Toasty. It just depends on if he's playing with somebody who's slow or not. Schmidt at 7,000, 2 straight miss cuts for him at this event, 2 straight miss cuts for him on tour. However, he rates out decently well per my model here. Zach Johnson, 20th here last year, 8th in his last start, which was the Masters, 18th before that. Chris Goddard at 7,000, 24th here last year, coming off a miss cut. Hayden Springer missed the cut here last year, but the opposite, he's playing well, 15th, 24th, or 42nd. 34th in his last 3 starts. So, yeah, I mean, there's some guys here. It just gets really, really sketchy after 8,000. So,
yes, it does. Gary Woodland, he's 69th in my model, but he's a guy that, where's it at? He hasn't played here in forever, if he's played here at all, as you mentioned, but 61st at the Heritage, 40th at Valero, 2nd at the Houston, 47th at Valspar. So, 4 straight made cuts, including that really nice Houston finish. So don't mind Woodland at all. Sammy Valimaki, $7,300. He's 9th in my model. He's 2nd in this field in approach. He's 22nd from 200 plus, 23rd in par 5 scoring, 22nd in birdie or better, and 19th in DK. Like that 73A, that's a lot of really good, basically top 25 statistics there that I'll take at $7,300. Yeah. So Valimaki is a guy that I can get behind. Joel Dahman at 73. He's 26th in my model. He's 9th over the last 24 rounds from 200 plus. He's been playing really, really good golf. I know he missed a cut recently, but 62nd here last year. And, missed a cut at the Valero, but 18th at Houston, missed the Valspar, 54th at the Players. Like,
but
we're talking tournaments down here.
Do you not have that loaded either? The
Yeah, he almost won. He blew it, yes. Like, bogeyed the last 3 holes. I do not have that on here.
I don't have Punta Cana on mine either. Yeah, it was Punta Cana is where it was.
We play have a lot more different stats if we have Punta Cana, because most of these guys we're about to talk about all played in Punta Cana.
Did they not have shot link down there or something?
They never do. New Mexico.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, that was in Dominican Republic. That was a
heartbreaker.
Right?
I think so. Yeah, that was a heartbreaker for sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, Toasty, I'm with you. 30th in my model at 73. Love Toasty. Love the fiery attitude is the best way I'll put it. 7th in driving distance. Long iron play is not bad. So that all checks the boxes. Davis Riley at 7,200 bucks. He's 3rd in my model. He's 1st in this field in par 5 scoring. He's 3rd in strokes gained total. His 200 yards out of beyond is horrible, but 12th in birdie or better. 7th in DK scoring. Pick your poisons. Nicolas Echevarria at 7,200 bucks. Rates out horrifically. But he's another one of those guys. Like, we've seen him play well in these kind of wide open. This almost feels like an alt event, personally. 51st in the Masters, 32nd at the Houston Open, 18th at the Valspar. Played well last week at the Zurich also. So Echevarria at 72. Vic Perez has played well here the last couple of years at 71. Henrik Norlander's played well here as well, 71. Then I had Springer and Matty Schmid with you and Goddrup. So we're on the same page there. I really like Springer's 14th and Schmid's 17th in my model. Schmid pipes the ball and has really good. He's 11th in this field from 200 and beyond. So, like, I know that doesn't mean he's going to play well, but for 7K, for the stuff you're looking for, that's pretty damn good. All right. Let's get even messier, Jesse. 6K range. What do you like?
I got Trey Mullinax checked off here. He missed the cut here in 23, but finished 32nd and 22. He's come off a missed cut, but before that had made 3 consecutive. Rosner missed the cut here in 21, his only start, but he's made every cut since the American Express, just kind of quietly cashing checks. Not really good finishes. The best finish was on a Euro Tour event, but I mean, 32nd, the Texas Open, 33rd, sorry. Just kind of cashing checks there at $6,800 if you're looking for somebody down here. Luke List is a guy who just maybe potentially could figure it out. Current form's not great, but 30th and 34th in his last 2 starts at this event. Francisco Molinari, 17th here in 22. I mean, he's 6,300. I don't know what else to say about him. Trevor Cone finished 23rd in 23. He did miss the cut in his last start, but 52nd at the Houston Open. If you're down here at $6,100 and you want somebody to click on, that would be who I would click on. But yeah, it's very, very sketchy. Very sketchy. Very, very sketchy.
Yeah, I got Mac Messinier. Mac is what I'll call him, at $6,800 bucks. He's missed 3 straight cuts here, so he's got that going for him. But he's also coming in with a 52nd at Valero, 39th at Houston, 28th at the Valspar, 42nd. So rather good form. Joseph Bramlett at 67. Missed cut here last year, but the 19th, 51st, 7th. So the course history is strong. Chandler Phillips missed the cut here last year, but he's coming in with a 18th at Valero, 32nd, 42nd, 61st. So at least 4 straight made cuts for Chandler. EVR is number 1 in this field from 200 and beyond, if you want to take that to the grave with you. Carson Young is a birdie machine. He finished 40th at the Valero. And at this event, it's been 30th and 14th the last 2 years, if you're looking for course history. And then I wanted to mention down here, because there's a couple of, like, you know, Patton Kizzire in Texas. He's made 4 straight cuts here, 24th, 30th, 63rd, 3rd. So you can go there if you want. But I wanted to mention this one last guy. Brandon Matthews is $6,000. Brandon Matthews missed the cut here 2 years ago. Bubba, people might say, Bubba, what are you doing? Recommending a guy that hasn't even played on the tour recently. It's like, what are we doing here? I'm just going to mention him because it made me laugh when I looked at my stats, and who knows when these stats are from, because there's no real events lately. But over the last 24 rounds, he's actually 84th in the model. He's 6K, which is funny. But in this field, again, who knows where these events came from, 3rd in driving distance, 8th from 200 plus. Everything else is red. But the 2 stats I care about the most, he's top 8 in both. Now, I looked. He has not played a round in the PGA Tour since 2023 at the Sanderson Farms. So he's been either corn ferried, injured, whatever. Just want to throw it out there. If you're feeling frisky at $6,000, long time ago, though. So don't take that one to the grave. But if he can find any part of that form, that at least should make it to the weekend. That's all I'm trying to say. All right. Now that blasphemy is out of my mouth, let's recap things. Okay, Scotty Scheffler up top. 9K range, Jesse.
Sure. Like yeah, that's probably the thing to do. I'm gonna say Siwoo.
I'm gonna go Jaeger Bombs, 8K range.
Gerard.
I like that pick. I'm gonna go with Jake Knapp. 75 to 79.
Celinda.
Celinda is a good pick. I am going to take where did he go? Give me Olsen, Thorborn Olsen, 7K to 74.
Jesper Svensson.
Yeah, it's like a Asian Euro Tour event. It feels like just going through all these names. I'm going to go Sammy Valimaki, 6K range.
Rosner.
Yeah, that's a really good pick. The more you talked about him, I was like, yeah, it's probably why I hadn't checked off two. For me, you got Rosner. I will take Joseph Bramlett. I mentioned like the course history here, and he's 13th in my model. So he does well. Hits the ball far. Good on par fives. Good on the approach game. So Bramlett is 67 for me. All right. I wouldn't even condone cash this week personally, as it's going to be a volatile mess.
Be very tough. If
you're starting a tournament lineup, where are you starting?
Yeah. I like Jaeger, Gerard, and Svensson.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Jaeger, Knapp, and Valimaki. That's like going to be part of my core right there. Who you got winning this thing?
Yeah, I mean, I got Knapp. I think I'm going to bet Knapp, Gerard, Cole, and Siwoo. Siwoo just simply because he like almost won the other day. So, and, you know, I'm just going to take some long shots this week. And it's probably a week that Scheffler finally wins. But I'm not betting him at 2.8 to 1. Not going to do it.
That's not even college basketball for you to parlay it with.
There's no college basketball. Now, we could do a NBA parlay. However, I do not know the NBA well enough to parlay anything with anything. So,
yeah, I'd take the long way out on that one. Some top 20s I like. I'm actually surprised by the odds, and maybe they'll all be losers. But Jake Knapp's plus 250 to top 20. Toasty's plus 330. Joel Dahman's plus 360. And Valimaki's plus 360. So I like those guys pretty good as well. There's a lot of those top 20. Like, this is a week to take long shots and see what happens, basically. Because there's going to be a lot of ridiculousness is the way I'll put it.
I agree.
All right, any final thoughts as we wrap it up for the people listening at home? Next week, we have the Truist Champion, the artist formerly known as Quail. Go in Philadelphia. It's a signature event. So we also have the Myrtle Beach Classic the same week. And then looks like we'll get a block party again at the PGA Championship the following week as
very Block exciting.
He went into the second round leading at the PGA. I'm like, he very can't exciting. Even just squeak in. He's got to be leading the damn thing now.
Mm-hmm. Very exciting stuff.
Yes. So, yeah, sorry. Any other thoughts on that one?
I got nothing. Good luck.
All right, buddy. We will be back with you guys next week to, again, preview the upcoming PGA Tour event. But until then, check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, the podcast at Always Press DFS. I'm at BD Entrick, and this was your 2025 CJ Cup Byron Nelson Classic. Catch you on.